Hey, good evening. Welcome to our Wednesday Rewind from Believer City Church, Menominee, Wisconsin. I'm Pastor Tim, and we are broadcasting live on the web as well as on 101.7 FM radio street level. Thanks for being with us. We are rewinding our Sunday message entitled The End of Days out of 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5. Let's take a minute to seek God's blessing on this gathering this evening, and then we'll jump into our discussion. Father, it's awesome, great thing to be able to be together here, certainly with you, first of all, but with all brothers and sisters, and some of them in our backyard, some of them across town or in another city nearby, some maybe even on the other side of the world. And we ask that you would anoint this gathering this evening, that we would gather what you would have for us personally and corporately out of this text. And again, we thank you for all that you're giving us, as well as the technology here that we have be together like this, even in our distance. We love you. We praise you. Amen.
Today's question is, are we living in the end times? The Bible prophesizes of many events that will occur in the end times. These events can be categorized as natural signs, spiritual signs, sociological signs, technological signs, and political signs. We can look to what the Bible says about these things, and if the signs are present in abundance, we can be certain that we are, in fact, living in the end times. Luke chapter 21, verse 11 lists some of the natural signs that will occur before Jesus' second coming. There will be great earthquakes, famines, pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. While we shouldn't interpret every natural disaster as a sign of the end times, an increase in the natural disasters seem to be a warming up of what is coming next, birth pangs, as Jesus called them, Matthew chapter 24, verse 8. The Bible lists both positive and negative spiritual signs. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, we discover that many people will follow false teachers. We see now an increase in cultic groups, heresy, deception, and occultism, with many choosing to follow New Age or pagan religions. On the positive side, Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29 prophesizes that there will be a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Joel's prophecy was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse 16, and we are still seeing the effects of that outpouring in revivals and spirit-led Christian movements and in the worldwide preaching of the gospel message. Along with the signs in the natural and spiritual realms, there are signs in society. The immorality rampant in society today is a symptom of mankind's rebellion against God. Abortion, homosexuality, drug abuse, and child molestation are proof that evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. We are now living in a hedonistic and materialistic society. People are lovers of themselves, looking out for number one, and doing what is right in their own eyes. All these things and many more can be seen around us every day. See 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. The fulfillment of some end-time prophecies seemed impossible until the advent of modern technology. Some of the judgments in Revelation are more easily imagined in a nuclear age. In Revelation chapter 13, the Antichrist is said to control commerce by forcing people to take the mark of the beast. And given today's advances in computer chip technology, the tools he will use may very well be here already. And through the internet, radio, and television, the gospel can now be proclaimed to the entire world. Mark chapter 13, verse 10. And there are political signs. The restoration of Israel to her land in 1948 is the single most impressive fulfilled prophecy, proving that we live in the end times. At the turn of the 20th century, no one would have dreamed that Israel would be back in her land, let alone occupying Jerusalem. Jerusalem is definitely at the center of geopolitics and stands alone against many enemies. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 3 confirms this. On that day, when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations. All who try to move it will injure themselves. Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 and 7 predicted that nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Wars and rumors of wars are definitely characteristic of this present age. These are just a few of the signs that we are living in the end of the age. There are many more. God gave us these prophecies because he does not want anyone to perish, and he always gives ample warning before pouring out his wrath. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Are we living in the end times? No one knows when Jesus will return, but the rapture could occur at any moment. God will deal with sin either by grace or by wrath. John chapter 3, verse 36 says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them." Those who do not accept Jesus Christ as their Savior will remain under the Lord's wrath. The good news is that it's not too late to choose eternal life. All that is required is acceptance by faith of God's free gift of grace. There is nothing you can do to earn grace. Jesus has paid the price for you. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Are you ready for the Lord's return, or will you experience his wrath?
Paul the Apostle, he began this section of 1 Thessalonians this week by making a statement that he didn't want the reader to be ignorant. Now, we might tend to just let that statement just kind of roll right on by us. If we were not recently, there was these released polls and surveys that express a staggering and unprecedented ignorance of basic scripture and thus, of course, scriptural ideals within that current culture in which we live. So people are indeed ignorant of these things, which certainly sets the bar as far as this church's priorities. In times, events, the proverbial what happens after we die scenario, therefore lies clearly in the ignorant category for most of us. The only saving grace really is this, in this fact, is that most people have a natural and, you know, sometimes even a driven interest in this question, in this issue. Sadly, there is a lot of misinformation out there that is being passed off as scriptural, or at least being passed off as accurate. We tend to gather our data on this issue as well as so many in our present age via Hollywood movies and YouTube videos and random bloggers. All of this is anything but empirical, not to mention historical. Thus, many of us will latch on to one version of the story concerning the last days and the afterlife. We latch hold of that version because, well, we like that premise, while really the rest of the belief system of the source of that account, man, most of the time these can be highly suspect, if not seriously out of left field. Now, the Bible has indeed its accounts. And Paul ventures in here, although this is not an exhaustive handling of this issue by any means, and really is not intended to be. As I mentioned on Sunday, the information in Scripture concerning death, the afterlife, moreover the end of days, as it pertains to humanity at large, it is lacking in detail, and I think seemingly on purpose. Clearly, Jesus Christ, as well as other New Testament writers, were far more concerned with how one lives and how one responds according to the information given, rather than the one having detailed play-by-play accounting as to how it will all go down. For if such information fails to motivate a person, then really what benefit would it have otherwise? It's just, again, it's the stuff of movies. Now, certainly the New Testament players were innately concerned with finishing the race. i.e. Paul the Apostle in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. They all were really consumed, if you will, with living out one's calling and completing one's mission on this earth. They all, across the board, promoted a lifestyle that fostered a ready-to-depart priority, but not ever at the expense of causing timidity or distraction from the goal of service and kingdom first right here, right now in this life. What we were told, unlike the peddlers of flesh-appealing Disney versions, what we were told clearly was designed to motivate us to a life of action, to finish out the reason we were born, to finish out innately and live in holiness and Christ glorifying. One of the reasons of the fall in the garden is that we have since lived now in a state of fear of death. I think we all can relate to that. The unknown of it all has caused trepid hearts and midlife crisis, if you will. Yet repeatedly in Scripture, we are actually called not to be afraid. The Apostle John, in 1 John 4:18, he wrote this. He said, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." So clearly the motivation behind what we have been told concerning these matters was meant to cause us not to fear what was coming. Now our text on Sunday told us God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, that is, die or live, we should live together with him. Now we know that what is coming to this planet must in fact be recognized as the pouring out of God's wrath. There is no doubt about it. If you read the accounts, Daniel, Revelation, Matthew 24. Thus, in some manner, it's clear that if we're not appointed to wrath, that God intends to see to it that we as believers, that we are protected and cared for in some manner. Now, that's why I am a pre-trib believer, but I assure you, whatever God has planned, he will take care of us as his children. Now, many individuals and many organizations over the years have made some pretty bold predictions as to when Jesus would return. Now, these individuals and organizations, they would no doubt call them prophecies, and I'd call them lies. It seems that these people expect you and I to never have knowledge of passages like Matthew 24, 36, where Jesus himself said, after now speaking for a whole previous chapter concerning the end times, he said this. He said, "No one knows when that day or hour will come, even the angels in heaven and the Son don't know, only the Father knows. No one knows the day or the hour will come." And yet throughout history, we still have people who try to do that exact thing. That individual that makes these predictions throughout the years, it also seems to be quite unaware of such Old Testament passages like Deuteronomy 18:20. And that verse says, "But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name, anything that I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death." Well, I think that would certainly be a deterrent in 2023, wouldn't it? So Jesus, he warned us again in Matthew 24. He said, "If anyone tells you, look, here's the Messiah, or there he is, Don't believe it, Jesus said. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones. See, he said, I have warned you about this ahead of time. What's that mean? That means we're without excuse. He gave us this information. We are truly without excuse if we get sucker punched into this kind of idea. Jesus, Paul the Apostle John, as well as many others, did indeed speak concerning these matters. All the while, they were quite aware of the biblical position concerning false prophets and false prophecies, yet they willingly laid their heads down on the chopping block, so to speak, because they clearly knew that what they were saying was accurate and from God, so they had nothing to fear. It was a lot to lay out there. Moreover, multiple writers prophesied essentially the same things, each not having knowledge of the other person's writings. So that only helps confirm the authenticity of the scriptural accounts of prophecy. Scripture teaches us that in the end of days, that many will possess aspects and elements of this, and as it plays out, you're going to have a cast of characters, if you will, a plethora of events, some dark and foreboding, some wonderfully bright and beautiful, that is going to enter into the field of play. However, even with all that happening, nowhere in Scripture are we ever warned to stock up on canned goods, guns, and generators. Rather, Scripture tells us, in preparation of these end times, that we are to be faithful, we are to be watchful, we are to be prayerful, we are to serve King and Kingdom with diligence. That's how we are to prepare for the last days. One reaction to all this, certainly, is fear. The other action and reaction is one out of love and faith. It's really up to us which way we're going to go. We are called in Scripture to give attention to the season of time in which we live, not the day or the hour. Again, Matthew 24. He said, now learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches bud and its leaves begin to sprout, you know that summer is near. And in the same way, when you see all of these things, you know his return, that would be Jesus, his return is very near, right at the door. And we know that. We live in that age right now. We know that it is close to his return. So Jesus tells us himself, he tells us that his departure will be sudden and it will be without warning. He said, two men will be working together in a field, and one will be taken, the other left. He said, two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, and the other left. In fact, throughout the entire New Testament, we're given enough data to clearly hold to the doctrine of the rapture, that sudden and dramatic snatching away of the believers off this planet. That believers are going to be snatched out of here in a blink. And following the tribulation, we also know much about what's going to occur with the second coming of Christ when he comes to this earth to establish his kingdom, because the Bible says we, who will be previously snatched out of here, we're going to come back with him. Now, Paul the Apostle tells us that all of this should comfort us. That's what he says in our text in Thessalonians. And so I ask you what I ask you on Sunday. Does all this comfort you? Or does it just generally freak you out? Does it motivate you to self-preservation? Or motivate you to kingdom exaltation? Are you living like you have one more day? Or are you just gambling you got plenty of time? Now we share again that Acts passage we covered on Sunday. the words of Jesus telling his apostles, and yes, telling us also, and this is what he said, Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, he said, the Father alone, that's God, the Father alone, has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know, Jesus said. So they're not for us to know. And he goes on, he says, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus was clearly, both then and now, more concerned about us, the coming of and the receiving of the Holy Spirit. You know, he wasn't all freaked out about end times events. He was concerned about us receiving the power of the Holy Spirit that we might be witnesses and servants and dynamic examples on this earth and in this time. So, I ask you tonight, knowing all of this is going to go down. In fact, it seemingly is going down even as we speak this evening. How are you going to live your life? Will you spend it chasing the temporal, seeking the worldly, pursuing the idols and the pleasures of this world, or will you stand up and make your life count? How's it been going in 2023? Are you leaner, meaner, stronger, clearer today than you were this time last year? Or are you even now fading into the world's masses, slowly losing the fight, failing to compromise, and just lost in your compromise and in your love for this world? His desire, through it all, is to walk us through this life. To walk us through this life, not just wait for us at the door on our way out. Now, those of you who are out there tonight in small groups, God bless. May he be there with you in your discussions. Because this matters. And I pray that all of you in 2024, and we're just around the corner now, that all of you is going to live dynamically, because the days are ticking and we're almost home.